This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
We are currently living in some very uncertain times. All around the world we see unrest, increased violence, and dissatisfaction with government. All while the growing confusion continues concerning what should be allowed and legal or remain illegal and rejected. The Middle East, it continues to be a tinderbox of civil war and attempted regime change. Terrorist groups remain on the prowl, relentlessly pursuing agendas to destroy Israel and the United States. And it doesn't appear to be ending anytime soon. Russia has also added to the global tensions by invading the Ukraine and fueling suspicions of greater expansion in the area of the Balkans. Some have even mentioned Russia's president is on a mission to resurrect the former Soviet Union, regardless of the United States and European Union's NATO policies and military sensitivities. Oil, it remains a key commodity for the world, generating some enormously lucrative contracts for China, Russia, and Saudi Arabia. The United States, well, it seems paralyzed and perplexed about what to do regarding its own domestic energy needs. Stay with us as we review these end-time geopolitical issues in light of biblical prophecy.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. Hopefully today's program will find some interest with you because we're going to be talking about some very interesting things. End time prophecies. That's right. Now, in the beginning of the program, I think many of you understood that what we were trying to do is illustrate for you just what a dangerous world we're living in. I mean, there seems to be tensions in every corner of the world. There seems to be a lot of angst and anxiety. People wake up in the morning wondering when they turn on their news what new headline is going to jump out at them that could possibly change the course of geopolitics for, who knows, the next month or two or maybe even year or two. Because let's face it, all of us have gone through the experience, at least in the last 10 years or so, of some pretty major, pretty serious events that have indeed changed the course of geopolitics. And now things are becoming even more obvious presently with some other types of additional dangers and obvious potential concerns, such as Russia. Of all things, this big old bear that's been hibernating for about the last two decades is now beginning to emerge onto the geopolitical platform under the leadership, at least present leadership anyway, of Putin, and is becoming far more emboldened and very aggressive in exerting and exercising resistance and intimidation, much from the West, of course, but also including the United States, the European Union, and even Britain, all illustrating a whole new growing attitude within Russia, an attitude of far more confidence and boldness. And you combine that with China, and they have a shared distrust now. You know that as well as I do, and a shared distaste with the West, and especially with an emphasis on the United States. Well, they provide each other this kind of reinforcement because now they've got a common enemy. And this common enemy allows them to combine their strengths, both militarily and economically, all in an effort, working an agenda, hopefully, to debase the United States off of its geopolitical platform. And then you add that with a current president in the United States, an individual that some have called leading a regime or the administration, let's say, that is indeed looking like he's thoroughly confused and clueless as to how to combat this growing disrespect and mockingly rude attitude toward the United States from countries like Russia and China, including Iran and North Korea, and presently the United States, because of these things, seems to be illustrating a more obvious vulnerability to these encroachments from these superpowers, and which again, as I said, includes Iran and North Korea, who's been standing up to the intimidation that has been exercised by these countries. And all this is going on, my friends, you know it as well as I do, while the American people live lives of Disneyland, detached, disassociated, disconnected from what these realities pose and the dangers they present that lurk in the geopolitical shadows. We are living in some very historical times, uncharted waters. Some things that are happening now, my friends, have never in the history of the world happened before. We're going to talk a little bit about these things, but before we do, let me interrupt myself to offer to you our two free offers. That's right, on today's program, we have two free offers that we would like to present to you. One of them is a piece of literature that you can easily read in one sitting, as we've often provided literature that is short, to the point, and cogent, nevertheless very what we believe to be poignant about particular subjects. This one, titled, Are There Troubles Ahead for the European Union, is very, very cogent to the things that are going on over there in Europe. And then there's a two-hour presentation. There's going to be two discs on this particular case, but they are both titled The Middle East in Prophecy, Parts 1 and Part 2, both about 1 hour long, 2 hours in total, that will go ahead and go into much more detail than what I'm going to be able to go into today, but it will be expanding on what I'm going to be talking about. So they're very highly complimentary. Get both of them. All you got to do is dial that 888 number 578. 8791. Ask the operator for both of these free offers, the piece of literature and the two discs, 2 hours total for your obtaining. And don't forget about that website there too, www.cgi.org. We've got so much more there for your perusal and consideration, and we know that it will be certainly beneficial for those of you who are attempting to try to develop and augment and enhance your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And by the way, don't forget about that special feature that we have there where we webcast every Saturday. The times are usually posted on our homepage, and you can go ahead and rendezvous with us on the times that are posted on the homepage there. Normally, it's every Saturday, and you can tune in there and watch on your computer a minister of the Church of God International or a visiting speaker from some other organization go through the Bible or address perhaps some cultural issue that is current and cogent for the time and the day and age that we're living in. So one more time now, let me offer that literature and the two discs that we're offering at 888-578-8791, and again that website at www.cgi.org. So let's get back to the program here, as we were talking about this world that we're living in. I mean, it is a dangerous place. And I think all of us are in agreement with the fact that it's quite obvious it's not getting any better. It seems like it's growing in intensity and intention all over the world in so many areas. And sometimes you wonder, you know, where is all this leading us? I mean, things seem to be helter-skelter. They pop here, they pop there. This happens and that happens. And you wonder, you know, is there some kind of an agenda being worked here? Where's all this taking us? Are we involved in something that is actually in play that we, because we're in it, oftentimes, you know, the old adage, you can't see the forest from the trees. Because we're in the forest, we can't see clearly the trees that we're dealing with. And so I ask you, as you know, many of you, perhaps like me, ask ourselves from time to time, you know, what does all this mean? Where is it all leading us? Is there any, and this is really what's at the heart of what I'm talking about, is there any context to any of these things that we're seeing manifested around us? Well, my friends, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You know as well as I do, the Armor of God is a Bible-based program. We believe that this book, 66 of them, by the way, that are put together from Genesis to Revelation, along with my colleagues also, we all believe that this is the foundation of all knowledge. And frankly, the solutions to mankind's problems, all of his ills, I don't care, from hygiene to how to set up social order to morality to even how to engage in war, is all listed right here in your Bible. It has all the answers of mankind. But unfortunately, mankind has rejected divine revelation. And because we've rejected divine revelation, we are subjecting ourselves to what is called a prophetic script. You see, my friends, your Bible is broken out into probably three major categories. A lot of history in here. Some have said it's about 30% history. 25-30%, I'm not going to argue about percentages. Another third is about good Christian living, morality, you know, how to get along with your neighbor and how to develop a relationship with God, how to identify his expectations. And then there's another third. It's called prophecy. 25-30%, again, I'm not going to argue about percentages. But my point is, there is an awful lot of information here about events that have not yet happened that are scripted to happen if we, as a creation of human beings, 7 billion of us, by the way, now, as I understand, do not repent and accept, you ready? Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and the Messiah of the world. Now, I know that's a kind of a tall order to expect mankind to be able to submit to and concede to. But the fact of it is, that is what your Bible says. And if we don't do that, the prophetic script is geared to unfold. It is programmed to play out in certain fashions. The question is, what is in store for us if the vast majority of us, actually if all of us, do not repent? Because it will take, that is, all of us to repent. Well, I want to explore a few events and a few items here in the Bible today of those scripted conditions that if indeed mankind does not repent, are destined to happen. Because we all know God is not a liar. And so it is what we have here, something very clear and concise that I would like to share with you today. Because these are very sobering events of which, in this case, in the book of Mark, chapter 13, this particular apostle wrote down for all of us. Now, there are sister chapters in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. I'm not going to have time to go there, but certainly for your own perusal later on, perhaps you could coordinate those two chapters in Matthew and Luke with Mark chapter 13 here. But I want to bring your attention to this particular situation where Jesus, of all things, is with, roughly here we're told, basically three other guys, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And they were looking at the temple and talking about the temple. And in the course of the discussion, Jesus all of a sudden states this. He says in verse 2 of Mark 13, "Seest thou the great buildings here?" And he's, you know, pointing to the temple. They were there in Jerusalem, it says here, as to where they were. And he says here in this particular case, "There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Well, that got their attention. And so Peter and John and James and Andrew here in this particular case said, "Well, Lord, fill us in. What are you talking about? What are you alluding to in this particular case?" And Jesus proceeds. And over here, and you'll see here in verse 5, where he states this, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you." So he speaks now here in verse 6, he goes on, "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. When you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not yet be." He says here, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in different places. That's what the word divers means, different places. And there shall be famines and trouble. These, he says, are the beginning of sorrows. Now, keep your finger over there in Mark 13. Follow me over here to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 6, real quickly here, chapter 6. I want to bring your attention to the infamous four horsemen of the apocalypse. Chapter 6, verse 1. Real quickly here, you'll see a white horse, the second one, that is the second seal. These are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's characterized as horsemen, but they're called seals. The second one is red, and it talks about how it's going to take peace from the earth in verse 4 there, and how they should kill one another, and there would be given unto him a great sword. So this is indicative of war. And then you have a black horse, which is indicative of famine and pestilence and things that are very minute, and people are scraping for food, and there's balances here that they put them in and so on. And then, of course, there's the fourth horseman, which is this pale horse. And in verse 8, you find that these four horsemen culminate in 25%, my friends, of mankind being destroyed. Read it there. 25% will be killed by the sword and the famines and the pestilence in the fourth seal. And those of you who understand how the book of Revelation is divided up, you understand there are three sets of seven. There are seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven plagues. We're only talking about the fourth seal. We're early in the unfolding of these events in Revelation 6, 1 through 8. But here's what I want to mention to you. If you take Revelation 6, 1 through 8, and connect the dots up with Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through about 8, along with Matthew 24, by the way, and Luke 21, in the beginning portions of those verses as well, you will see that there is a correlation. There is a connection of descriptions going first with false Christs or false apostles, deception, the white horse in Revelation chapter 6 over here mentioned, and in verse 2 where it talks about how he goes forward and he goes and he conquers. And that's right. There is a lot of deception that is conquering people's minds into confusing them and causing them all kinds of heartache and misdirection and misappropriation of lifestyles, thinking that certain things God expects of them when in fact God expects nothing of them in that area. There is great confusion, my friends, even within the Christian community. You know it as well as I do. But then notice over here in Mark 13 as well, we come back to this, and in verse 7, where it says there's going to be rumors of wars, there's going to be a lot of trouble, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, there's going to be a litany, a legacy of wars. And what do you have as the second horseman? You have wars, a red horse. And then you've got different natural disasters. You've got famines and earthquakes in different places that Mark describes and talks about. And here again, you've got essentially the third horse, or the third seal in Revelation 6, verse about 5 through 6, again, this black horse. And then, of course, you have the pale horse, of which, again, one more time, illustrates of war and 25% of humankind being slaughtered, maimed, and killed, essentially. It's not a pleasant sight. These are end-time events that are scripted already and are destined to occur. Let me remind you, destined to occur if mankind doesn't get his act together and begin to recognize the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the plain truth of it, my friends. And that is the simple truth, because your Bible essentially explains that is really what is at the heart of the story. You see, what the Bible's all about is the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. That's right. He is coming to reinstitute the kingdom of God on earth. You're not going to heaven. You're not going to go to hell if you're bad. You're going to be resurrected, and if you qualify, be changed into an immortal and enter into the kingdom of God to help Jesus Christ reinstitute the government of God. And you can read about those things in Isaiah chapter 2, Micah 4. You can read about those things in Zechariah chapter 14, where the Messiah returns to the Mount of Olives. But I want to mention to you that before all those things can even begin to happen, before all those things can even occur. There are other additional events in this script that God has written down in the prophecies of your Bible, whether they be contained in the voices of the prophets or the voices of the apostles, be they John or be they in the Gospels. The bottom line is, these are prophecies, my friends, that are indeed destined to occur if mankind doesn't repent. And they oftentimes describe pretty horrific events. As a matter of fact, even for Christians. Notice the next event that Mark discusses here as we continue to read in Mark 13, verse 9. And we'll go back to Revelation 6 here in a moment to illustrate what the fifth seal is in a moment. But notice this in verse 9. But take heed to yourselves. Now remember, what Jesus is talking about is to those that are followers of Him. For they shall deliver you. You Christians, you followers of Christ, they're going to deliver you up to the councils in the synagogues. They're going to beat you, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my name's sake, for a testimony against them. He says here in verse 10 that the gospel must be first published among all nations, and it is. As we sit and speak today, this gospel message of Jesus Christ as the Messiah of mankind, the Savior of humanity, is being preached and published around the world. And in verse 11, he continues along the same theme. But when you shall lead you, and deliver you up, to take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour, that you speak. For it is not you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit. And then brother shall betray brother, and children shall betray the parents, and so forth, and many shall be caused to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now I want to bring to your attention the fact that in Revelation 6, I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but in Revelation chapter 6, you will see that there is described there a great Christian martyrdom as the fifth seal. Oh yeah, that's right, my friends. The fifth seal is a great Christian martyrdom. So you have basically four horsemen. And then you have the fifth seal, which correlates right here with this. And then, of all things, my friends, you have what is called here in Mark 13, another event. An event that is quite terrifying, and it is quite chaotic and quite sad, quite frankly, because when you realize what you're about to read, it is very sobering, to say the least. Notice this, verse 14, chapter 13 of the book of Mark. Verse 14, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that reads understand. Then let him that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him that is on the housetops do not go down to the house, neither enter back in to take anything out, but let him that is in the field not return back again to take up any of his garments. Woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, and pray you that your flight is not in winter, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be, and except that Lord shortens those days. Listen to this. No flesh, man would self-destruct, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, that is for the church, for those Christians, those of you who are followers of Christ, for your sake, those days will be shortened. What are we talking about here? Well, a lot of preterists will tell you that what you're talking about there is Titus rolling into Jerusalem in 70 AD and this was all fulfilled. No. Wrong, my friends. What this is talking about, that could be a pretype perhaps, maybe a pretype fulfillment, but there is a much bigger, far larger scope event that is going to occur here that Jesus is talking about for the end time. Because as you read the context here, and I don't have a whole lot of time to read the rest of the context, you will see he goes on into his second coming and the return of him back to earth and collecting his saints from all four corners of the earth to land with him on the Mount of Olives. This, my friends, is an end time prophecy of taking you right to the precipice of Jesus' return. And when you put that together, notice this, put this together with Daniel chapter 11. And let me take you back to the book of Daniel real quickly here before time runs out on me. Real quickly, Daniel chapter 11, you will see in verse 40, it talks about the end times. Real quickly here, at the time of the end, there's going to be two major powers, a king of the north and south. Here's my point. The king of the south, he pushes at the king of the north. You read about that in verse 40. And the king of the north comes down like a blitzkrieg onto him and invades, that's right, the glorious land. What is being described here, my friends, correlates exactly with Matthew 24, Luke 21, and as I read, Mark 13. Palestine is going to be occupied again by foreign powers, and the Jews are going to be subjected. They're going to be subjected again to a foreign power. And you can read about those things in the book of Joel. Go ahead and turn there to chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and you will find, my friends, you will find that again, even in the voice of the prophet Joel, he says that Judah, Israel, the Jews, your press says that's Israel. That's right. All Jews are Israelites. But the bottom line is they are a nation of Jews are going back into subjection to a foreign power. That's right. And your Bible talks about it there in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Again, these are prophecies of a script that has yet to be fulfilled if mankind doesn't repent. My friends, get the free literature. Time's run out on me once again here. Ask the operator, after dialing that 888-578 number, 8791, and ask for these two items. Are there troubles ahead for the European Union? And the two-disc set, 2 hours of lectures on the Middle East in prophecy, part one and part two. I think you'll find this very interesting because there are so many additional things that I was unable to touch on here that those two presentations will go into detail to help add for your understanding and knowledge the rest of the story, as they would say. So go ahead now. One more time, you dial that 888 number, 578-8791, and that website one more time at www.cgi.org. My friends, this is Bill Watson, and as we always say to you, the world that we're living in is a dangerous place. Without a doubt, you and I know there is no question about it. We need to strap on the armor of God to be able to allow us to be functional as Christians in this world. Our world's becoming more dangerous day by day. So you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.